There's a word that many, if not most of us, really don't like to hear. And it's on the screen. The word is change. Change. Things like this. Sir, your insurance plan is going to change this year. You typically know what that means, don't you? Prices are going to go up and coverage goes down, right? Well, or maybe this, ma'am, your flight has been changed. If you're traveling, you really don't want to hear those words. Or here's a good one. Next week is time change. Don't you love it when we have to move our clocks? Change. Or maybe this one, the closing on your house has changed. I'm ready to move in, and then they change that. And then maybe this is perhaps one of the worst of all. We are changing the musical style of worship. I mean, that's like heresy, isn't it? I mean, if hymns were good enough for Paul and Silas and the King James was good enough for Paul and Silas, then isn't it good enough for us today? Amen. And when change happens in our lives, we don't like it. Have you ever gone to a website and you're familiar with how it's laid out and you go there and they've changed it and you can't find anything on there? Change. Change comes into our lives and it not only messes us up, it just messes with us and we don't like it. But sometimes change is good. Let me give you some examples. Aren't you glad that we don't have to get around with horse and buggy? We have nice cars and days like this with heated seats and a heated steering wheel and heater in it. And then in the summer, you have air conditioning. Aren't you glad some things have changed? That wasn't too overwhelming. How about this? Smartphones. Now, that may be debatable for some of you. You may say, no, that was the worst thing that ever happened. But really, the change from the plain old cell phone to the smartphone where you can surf the internet, get your email, find your way by GPS, and Facebook stalk somebody. Isn't it an awesome change? Or maybe this one. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to the outhouse? I mean, somebody said that, you know, in the winter you transplant the frost ring. We don't like that. We like the indoor plumbing where the hot shower and everything is right there. That's a good change, yes? And aren't you glad that styles have changed? Guys, do you remember the day of the perm? Or the mullet. And the mullet seems to be making a comeback in some regions. I think I'll try it. We'll see what happens. But change. Change happens. Would you agree with me that 2020 has been a year of change? What has changed? Well, first of all, you and I have changed. You say, how? We got older. We are older today than we were a year ago, yes? Maybe some of you changed by the numbers going up on the scales. And others maybe changed because the numbers went down. Some of you are grayer this year, and some of you are thinner on top than a year ago. Change happens. We've changed, haven't we? Our circumstances have changed. Perhaps you overcame an addiction in 2020. Maybe you started a new job or you went back to school to get that degree that would be beneficial for you. Maybe you became a grandparent for the first or third or fifth time. Change occurred. Perhaps you went from single to married. That's a change. Maybe you transitioned from high school, and now you're a college student. Change. Some of you probably lost a job, or maybe your job situation changed because you simply retired. When we look around us, there's been other change in our world and in our own nation. The political landscape has changed. Leadership appears to be shifting. 2020 being a presidential election year, and from all indications, we will have a new president come January 20. With the election battles, lines were often drawn in the sand, and maybe you lost a friend. A friendship changed because of strong differences in the political realm. Things change. We would be forgetting something if we didn't talk about COVID-19. COVID-19 ushered in all kinds of changes, some of which may become a new normal, at least in the foreseeable future. And we don't like that change. You see, around the world, we saw shutdowns and lockdowns and quarantines. Face masks have become a commonplace. Hand sanitizer, we go through it like it's going out of style. It's takeout now instead of dine in. That's a change. We try to avoid close contact with people when we go grocery shopping or when we're in any kind of a crowd. Our faces have become hidden. And for the first time for all of us, we've been encouraged, don't get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas with your family. Stay apart. That's a huge change for us. And I'm not making any political statements. I'm talking about change that we've experienced this year. Schools, many of them have gone from virtual or gone to virtual from face to face. Many of you have become familiar with online shopping. The Amazon man stops at our house every day whether we have a gift or not coming. He just checks in on us. Travel requirements changed. We had to cancel a trip to Israel for 2021 because of all the stuff going on with COVID. I just read yesterday or the day before, Israel's getting ready to go into its third lockdown, shutdown. Change. How we do church has changed. The setup in here in the sanctuary, the worship center has changed. More distance. We have hand sanitizer everywhere when you walk through the building. Coffee and cookies have become served rather than self-serve. And you remember the 11 weeks where everything changed and we didn't have live services. Everything was online. Change. That's what it's called. And none of us like change. Most of us prefer stability, consistency, the routine. But sometimes when change occurs, we get used to it, and we accept it, and we even come to like the change. And sometimes change even improves things. But when it comes to our lives, what is it we want? Stability. We prefer that there not be change. You know, we don't want to get sick because that changes things. We don't like the change that the death of a loved one brings into our lives. We don't like the changes that our governmental authorities put into place. We don't want things to change where we work. We don't want things to change at church. We just want to know what to expect day by day by day. But we can't get away from the reality that life brings what? Change. Change happens. And I believe this is true. In the midst of chaos and the unwelcome changes with which we must deal, there is someone who never changes. That's who I want to talk to you about this morning. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to find Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 8 is all we're going to look at this morning as we jump off the ledge of a message. 10 simple words which simply say, Jesus Christ is what? The same. Yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If you want someone to hold on to that will not change, someone that will provide stability and security in your life, I point you to Jesus Christ, the one who does not change. In our time that we have remaining this morning, I would like for us to just look at the unchanging Christ. We don't have time to look at everything about him that does not change, but some specific items this morning that I believe will be helpful for us as we move into 2021. First of all, who Jesus is does not change and will not change. Who is he? Well, Jesus will always be God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the apostle says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, speaking of Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. And as God, he is eternal. And our eternal God does not change. He will never cease to exist. He's always been. And that will never change. Jesus will always be God. A second thing about Jesus that will not change is this. Jesus will always be man. We've just come through the Christmas season where we celebrated God becoming flesh. God took on humanity. And as such, that makes Jesus a very, very unique person. He is fully God and he's fully man. And today he is in heaven in bodily form. How do we know that? In Acts chapter 1 in verse 11, Jesus ascended into heaven and the angels said to the disciples, this same Jesus, the one that you saw ascend into heaven, he's going to come back in the same way someday. And the scripture tells us that, again, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus will always be God, and he will always be man. That will never change. A second heading is this. What Jesus offers will never change. What Jesus offers will never change. What does he offer? Jesus offers life, eternal life. In John 10:10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full or have it abundantly. Jesus came to give life, and the life that he came to bring wasn't just physical life. He came to give us eternal life. What is eternal life? I've shared this with you before, but it's worth repeating. In John 17:3, Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and knowing Jesus. Eternal life begins here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life here and now, and it also moves into the future as one day we will be with him forever. Eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing the Son. And that offer for eternal life will not change. It remains for those of us who are alive and who will live until the time that Jesus comes back. Eternal life. That offer will never change. Jesus also offers forgiveness of sins. He offers forgiveness of sins. It is through what he did on the cross that he paved the way so that you and I could know our sins to be forgiven, to be set aside so that we could be made right with God. In 1 John 1:9, John the Apostle writes, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." How does that happen? Through Jesus' payment of sin. His offer is good for us, and it will not change, ever. There's a third offer that Jesus gives that will not change. Jesus offers access to God the Father. He offers access to God the Father. Listen to John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know the story. Sin breaks the relationship between a holy God and mankind. And there are no efforts on our part that can get us into right relationship with a holy God. It is only through the offer that Jesus made by paying for our sins that we have access to the Father, that we can approach God the Father. The scripture says we can approach his throne and find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. That could never happen apart from Jesus' offer, and his offer still stands today. When we came to him this morning in prayer, we didn't come on our own merits. We came through Jesus. We came because of his offer. You can approach the Father. And may we never make the mistake of thinking that we are good enough to approach the Father. It is only through the offer of the Son. An offer that does not change, that will not change. You see, Jesus Christ is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. Jesus made promises, and we know this is true. His promises will never change. Aren't you glad? Let's just look at a handful of the promises that Jesus made. First of all, Jesus will be with us always. He made that promise. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, in the second half of the verse, he says, "And surely I am with you," when? "Always, even to the very end of the age." This is a promise that Jesus made. Did you know that Jesus won't bail out on you? I'm reminded of that old familiar poem, Footprints. You know, we see two sets of footprints, and then when it gets hard, we only see one set of footprints, and we're like, "Jesus, where were you then?" And he's like, "That's when I carried you." Jesus does not bail out on us. He promises to walk with us day by day by day through whatever we face. I'm grateful that he doesn't say, "You know, I'm going to walk with you always, well, until it gets hard. Until you face a difficult situation or until troubles come in your life, and then I'm going to step back for a minute and let you handle that on your..." No, he says, "I will be with you always. I will be with you always." And he makes this promise to everyone who puts their faith in him. So let me ask you a question this morning. What are you walking through? What is it you're walking through today? Is your marriage in trouble? Are you facing some challenges there? What about your finances? What kind of difficulties are you having? I mean, we've just come through the Christmas season. Did you overspend? What are you facing? Maybe you're struggling emotionally through the holidays. walking through the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've got some illness that you're just struggling to deal with. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but I can assure you of this. Some things never change. And Jesus promised to be with you always is certain. You can count on it. He will not leave you. That's just one promise he made. There's a second promise I want us to look at this morning. Jesus is preparing a place for all who follow him. He's preparing a place for those who are following him. Can you imagine what this place is going to look like? He's been working on it for 2,000 years. What is it going to be like? As believers, we regularly talk about heaven, talk about wanting to go to heaven, this eternal place where we will end up for if we know Christ as our Savior. And it's going to be a pretty incredible place. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, and forever with the one who provided us salvation. How do we know this is true? Jesus says this in John 14. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. What's that going to be like? We can imagine, can't we? We can rest assured that a place is being prepared for all who follow Christ. But there's another promise he made that's directly connected to this that is very important. Here it is. Jesus is coming back for us. I mean, what good would it be for us to know he's preparing a place if he doesn't tell us he's going to take us there? It'd be just kind of like us sitting back going, boy, I hope to get there. That's going to be really nice, but I have no assurance that I can get there. No, he says, I'm going to go prepare a place. And then he says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I might come back. That's not what he says, is it? He says, I will come back and take you, believer, follower of me, to be with me that you may be where I am. Jesus has promised that. And he doesn't change. So we can rest on that promise. We can know that he will never go back on his word. Because Jesus is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. That's who he is. The unchanging Christ. We need to remember that Jesus' mission has not changed. His mission has not changed. And by mission, I'm talking about what he has called his followers to do. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we have what is called the Great Commission. What is a commission? A commission is a command. It's a command to act in a prescribed manner. It's a command to do certain things. And Jesus gave us a command, a commission. Here it is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. His command isn't to go. You know what his command is? Make what? Make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. a student. And not just a person who is learning to gain knowledge. The idea of a disciple is one learning from someone else in order to become like that person, to adopt what they've taught, to take in what they've taught, to apply it to your life and live the way they're living. That's a disciple. And in order for you and me to make disciples, we have to first be disciples. We have to be learners of God. We have to know what Jesus taught in this book. And not just to say, well, I know what it says. We need to learn it and then put it into practice in our lives. That's being a disciple. And then our command is, as we are going, is a better way of putting it. The scripture says, therefore, go. The tense that is used there is better translated as you are going or along the way. Maybe we could put it like this. While you are doing life, be a disciple and make disciples. His command is this. You learn, you put it into practice. You tell someone else so they can learn and they can put it into practice, and then they can tell someone and they can learn it and they can put it into practice. It is a never-ending cycle. Let me tell you something about this command. It doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't even have conditions. Like, as you are doing life with those you like, tell them about Jesus. When you are with those friends that you get along with that don't know me, let them know about me. No, it's a blanket statement. Go make disciples. That means that when we're with people that we don't like, people who are different than us, we live the Jesus life, and we make disciples. That neighbor, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Because somebody came to your mind. That coworker that just rubs you raw. I don't think I'll tell them. They don't need to know. No. There's no conditions on it. It's simply go make disciples. That mission hasn't changed, folks. It is for you and for me today. Do we understand that Jesus' commission is as valid in 2021 as it was in around 30 AD when he gave this? It hasn't faded. Because, see, Jesus is the same when? Yesterday, today, and what? All right, talk to me. Forever. Forever. 2020 brought some changes into our lives that we didn't like. It changed our routine. And at times, it's rattled our foundations, perhaps. As we look into 2021, we have no clue what's coming, do we? Somebody has, I guess a little facetiously, said that January 1st, we can literally say that hindsight is 2020. But as we look into 2021, folks, we don't know even what to anticipate. It's possible that our world might be shaken by the earthquake of change. But there are some things that will never change. In 2021, Jesus' deity will not change. He'll still be God. His humanity will not change. He's still the Son of Man. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That won't change. Jesus' offers will not change. Jesus' promises will not change. Jesus' mission will not change. In just a handful of days, we're going to enter 2021, Lord willing. Two things I want you to remember as you walk out these doors today and face the new year. Remember this. Number one, Jesus never, 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 never changes. The second thing is this. Our mission is still the same. Do we understand this? Our community is dealing with the same changes that we've had to deal with. This hasn't just been for believers. Our community needs to know that there is one who will not and does not change. Our world around us needs to know there is a foundation you can build your life on that will not shake. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. My prayer for me and for us is that we will be extremely intentional in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as we move into 2021. Because we know this. Jesus Christ is the same, say it with me, yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are an unchanging God. Jesus, we thank you that you are unchanging. We thank you, God, for giving your Son who does not change. Jesus, your deity will not change. Your humanity will not change. Your offers, your promises will not change. And your mission has not and will not change. May we grasp that truth this morning. May we take hold of that mission that you have given us and in 2021 be more intentional than we've ever been in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ who does not change in spite of a changing world. Father, our community needs to know that. Our coworkers need to understand that they can build their lives on a solid foundation on Jesus Christ who does not change. Thank you for what you do in our lives, and may we rejoice as we share that good news with all of us around, all those around us. We love you today. God, thank you. Thank you for watching over us in 2020, and we are looking to you in 2021. May this congregation know your blessings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.